I invite you to stand if you are able for the reading of this morning's gospel. It is John 6, verses 25 through 35. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus replied, "I assure you that you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate all the food you wanted. Don't work for food that doesn't last, but for food that endures for eternal life, which the human one will give you. God the Father has confirmed him as an agent to give life." And they ask, "What must we do in order to accomplish what God requires?" Jesus replied, "This is what God requires, that you believe in him whom God sent." They ask, "So what miraculous sign will you do that we can see and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, just as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus told them, "I assure you, it wasn't Moses who gave the bread from heaven to you, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. The bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives light through the world." They said, "Sir, give us this bread all the time." And Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated.
The Bible tells us to give thanks in everything. So how do we do that? Sure, it's easy to be thankful when life is going well. But what happens when the journey becomes difficult? How do we give thanks in the midst of pain, struggle, or loss? You see, life has a way of breaking a heart of gratitude. Piece by piece, moment by moment, we lose sight of our calling to live thankful lives. This Thanksgiving, we need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. We need to stand on His promise to never leave us or forsake us. We need to trust the plans He has for us. Plans to give us hope and a future. When we fix our eyes on Jesus, gratitude is inevitable. For He walks with us in the deepest valleys and on the highest mountains. Today, we place our trust in Him alone. For this is where thankfulness overflows.
Well, it's always been one of my favorite weeks of the year. After all of the Advent and Christmas activities, Michael and I like to take the next week off and just spend it unwinding and relaxing, a time just to get away for a while. So it's not quite the same as going to the ocean, but at least it allows this landlocked Kansan to have an opportunity to walk beside the water. Even if it's nothing more than an overgrown lake in the Ozarks. But hey, it's better than nothing. Last year was different. You see, the reality was the accident had changed everything. I'd been given permission, actually it was December 23rd, to try walking a little. But the doctor said it would be at least a year and probably longer before I could actually walk properly. When he found out my plans were to go to the Ozarks to hike and have a good time, he just laughed and said, "I don't think so. You can go, but it will be a while before you can hike on trails and up hills. I was complaining about the unfairness of it all. And Michael, he tried to keep reassuring me that while it would be different, we would still enjoy our time away. Poor Michael. His world changed about as much as mine did. But he was so patient, so encouraging and creative. Despite the fact that I could hardly limp across the condo, he would take me in the car and we would go to the river walk almost every day. It was flat. And when there was a break in the buildings, I could actually see a little bit of water. The added bonus, of course, was there were benches that were strategically placed along the way. And to be honest, I spent more time sitting on those benches than walking or limping along the walkway. It was so unfair. I sat there watching as everyone else was walking around and changing directions and doing everything they wanted to do. And there I was. The best I could do was walk from one stabilizing object to the other until I finally got to one of the benches that I could sit down on. All I wanted to do was to be able to stand and to walk. It had seemed so ordinary, so common, so I didn't even think about it before then. One day I was sitting on the bench, watching all the people go from one place to the other, and I promised God that if I could just regain the ability to walk, even in a semi-normal fashion, I wouldn't complain about everything else, like the clunky shoes, the nightly boot, and all those adaptive devices. Yet when you make a promise to God, well, you really ought to try to keep it. The problem with keeping your promises to God, it's all those yes buts that keep getting in the way. In my case, they sounded something like, "Well, yes, Lord, I'm thankful that I can walk, but have you noticed all the steps getting into buildings?" Or, "Yes, Lord, it's nice to be on my feet, but can we talk about all the gravel streets and driveways?" There were so many yes buts in a day. "Yes, I'm grateful, Lord. I'm not forgetting my promise. But..." And one day I was in the middle of a really good pity party. I mean, I was having myself a good time feeling sorry for myself. Now, I hadn't totally forgotten my promise to God about, you know, always being thankful and not complaining. But let me tell you, I was bending it just a whole lot. And then a devotion led me to the scripture that I read just a moment ago. It's one that I've preached on numerous times in my 30-plus years of ministry. And to be honest, most of those sermons were fairly critical of the crowd who had gathered around Jesus that day. The crowd that was asking for a miracle. I mean, after all, you do remember my rule, right? Always read what comes before and after. If you read before, what you discover is that the majority of those people in the crowd, the day before, they had been among the crowd that had been fed by three loaves of bread and two fish. They had been there. They had seen Jesus bless them and pass them out. They had eaten their fill. They had watched as baskets were collected afterwards. But 24 hours later, they were standing before him, demanding that he prove to them that he was indeed the person he said he was. They suggested that maybe a miracle might be nice. You know, something like manna in the desert. Free food for 40 years. And just give it to them and they'd believe. But do you know what makes this story even more interesting? It's the fact that even perhaps fewer, but some of the people that had been fed the day before with the loaves and the fish, they had actually been following Jesus for quite some time. The scripture tells us that they had seen him perform miracles. He had cured the sick. Now, it seems to me that if they had seen it, some of them standing there had actually probably been among those who had been cured. All of them had been fed. And yet there they stood, demanding some proof, some sign. Some other miracles to prove to them who Jesus really was. As I sat there that morning in the comfort of my own home, surrounded by the evidence of so many blessings, it finally occurred to me that those people, they weren't as ungrateful and self-centered as we oftentimes make them out to be. I mean, maybe, just maybe, we're more like them than we care to admit. Because like them, I think that we have all experienced the power of Jesus' love in our lives. We've all looked around us and have marveled at the things that he has given us. Yes, they stood directly in his presence. They all been fed and some of them had been healed. I was pulled from a wreck. And the first person on the scene thought all he was going to find was a dead body. All of you, You probably have your own story. You know, that moment that you realize God was there. And it was only by the grace of God that you survived or you moved forward. That you were able to withstand something you never thought you would have to face. All of us have a story. And it's not that we're unaware or ungrateful. It's simply that there are those moments when life still becomes overwhelming and disappointing. And when it does, when we're not certain what's going on and we're not certain where it's leading and the only thing we can do is worry and fear seems to be taking over, in those moments, what we need is not criticism. What we need is reassurance. And so the yes buts begin to sneak in. And before long, they've taken over our thoughts. Yes, you fed us yesterday. But what about tomorrow? Yes, we've made it through some very tough financial times. But what if our money runs out before the crisis ends? Yeah. Our children seem to be doing okay now. But what kind of a future do they have? Yes, my health seems to be good now, but what about the test? The yes buts. They can and they do cause us to question. And sometimes they cause us to doubt even the presence of Jesus in our lives. And left unchecked, they will rob us of all the happiness, all the contentment and well-being that comes from living a faith-filled life. That comes when we can truly be thankful for the things around us. When the yes buts take over, they throw a shadow over everything. And we find it more and more difficult to really be thankful. So how do we learn not to allow that to happen? How do we learn not to let the yes buts throw that shadow over all that God has actually done, all that is so truly good in our lives? Things that are good even in the toughest of times. When I look at today's scripture lesson, and when I put it in context, what becomes obvious is the people were so focused on the past and so worried about the future that they were missing the incredible things God was doing for them right there, right in front of them. When I was living in my yes, but world, it was so easy to get caught up in what I couldn't do and to worry about the things I might never, ever be able to do again. But when I was living out of the yes, buts, I ran the risk of missing all the blessings. I could walk or limp right past the very things that I was searching for. And what I was searching for was Emmanuel, God with us. I was searching for God's direction in my life, for God's care. So, yes, I couldn't do more than limp from bench to bench. But sitting there on those benches, I had the most incredible conversations with people. Some who just wanted someone to listen to them. And yes, those early attempts at trying to get into the grocery store by myself, it was slow and it was painful and sometimes it was embarrassing. But there were so many people who went out of their way to ask if they could help me. And yes, sitting in that chair week after week, looking out the front window, not being able to even walk out of my front door, it was frustrating. Everyone else was busy going and doing. But for the first time in years, I sat in that chair and I watched one season fold into another. And for the first time in years, I became aware of the people's schedules who live around me. Some of them, I still don't know their names, but I could tell you when they left for work. I could tell you when they came home. I could tell you if the school bus picked up their children. I could tell you all of those things. And watching their daily routines, getting to know them through that front window, I was able to pray that God would continue to bless them and keep them safe. Yes, sometimes life is unfair. Yes, sometimes it's frightening. Yes, sometimes we don't know where to go, but if we simply believe in God's presence among us, we will still find so many blessings, so many reasons to give thanks. So during this season of thankfulness, busyness, and preparation, my prayer is that each one of us will learn to celebrate God's presence, even in the yes buts of our life. Now, friends, just open your eyes. Open your hearts. Get ready to be amazed. Because you see, God is here, all around us, now, right now. May we give thanks with grateful hearts. Because yes, life can get tough, but God is tougher. To God be the glory. And all God's children say, Amen. Amen.